Our reading this morning will be out of Titus, chapter 1, or verse 1, chapter 3. Remind them to be subject to rulers and authorities, to obey, to be ready for every good work.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Good to see each and every one of you. We're always thankful for the opportunities we have to be with one another. If you're visiting with us, we're very glad that you've come our way. We're always thankful to have visitors, and we want you to know that you are welcome back at any and every opportunity. We're certainly thankful for all the individuals that are helping us serve this morning. Some days are different than others, and we're so thankful for all the different substitutes we have in so many different areas. It is appreciated, and certainly it is not overlooked. In fact, I think that's some degree what our topic is this morning. You know, there's many places where you read part of a verse will hit you and it will just kind of take your thinking for a while, and that happened to me when I was reading Titus chapter 3 and verse 1 there. And really, it wasn't the first part of the verse, it was actually the second part of the verse. It says, to be ready for every good work. I tell you what, sometimes the Christian life can feel a bit intimidating. You know, when I read that, to be ready for every good work, that's a little intimidating for me. There's a lot of good works out there. There's a lot of good things that we can be doing with our lives. But that's intimidating for me when I read that. To be ready for every good work. You know, as I reflect on myself, I think on that a little bit. Am I ready for every good work? You know, certainly that can be intimidating on its face. But really, when I look at Christianity, I think Christianity is really a combination of really small things sometimes. Sometimes things that go unnoticed. Sometimes it's just simply subbing in. You know, sometimes that can go unnoticed. But certainly that's very valuable and needed. Being ready for every good work. Certainly I think of a phone call. Certainly a small thing. But certainly I could think that would fall underneath the category of being ready for every good work. Certainly we have a goal to serve God to the best of our ability. And when I think about serving God, I certainly think of this aspect that we have here, to be ready for every good work. Are we ready when there's a void? Are we ready when there's a hole? Are we ready when something needs to be done? Are we ready for every good work? Our goal to serve the church, the idea of serving God, helping one another, serving one another. In fact, when we look at our Christian lives, were we not saved to serve? To serve to the best of our ability. To be ready for every good work. You know, this is not the only place that we find this idea of being ready for every good work. Paul's writing to young preacher Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 21. He says, therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, he will be a vessel of honor, sanctified and useful for the master, prepared for every good work. Talking to Timothy there, talking about individuals that have been cleansed, these individuals that have become Christians, and he says you've been sanctified so that you can be useful for the master, prepared for every good work. Are we ready for every good work? You know, on the surface, that might look intimidating, but really, I think Christianity many times are doing the small things. And that's what I want to talk to you about today, is being ready for every good work, but being ready to do the small things of the Christian life. A lot of times we look at ourselves, I think, and we're very hard on ourselves, looking for something big and monumental that we can accomplish, but really, if we can just do the small things each and every day, will we not put ourselves and our brothers and sisters in Christ in a better place? Let's talk about one thing this morning. We're going to talk about three things, but one thing that I think that we all can do, each of these things I think we can all do, and I think all of them would fall under that idea of being prepared for every good work. The first one is teach. Can we teach somebody else? Can we teach our grandchildren? Can we teach our children? Can we teach our brothers and sisters in Christ? Can we be a teacher? I think over the course of time, teaching has, people have tried to take teaching and they try to make it into a mystical thing, like you need some degree from some institution, but really, teaching is almost one of the natural things of life. As soon as we become parents, we start to realize that we are teachers. We start to realize the connection that we have, the example that we set, the chance we have to impact another life in a very special way. All of a sudden, we start to realize all the things that our kids pick up on. The way we talk, the way we act, the way we move around, the way we conduct ourselves. But certainly, that's one small thing we can do throughout our lives is to teach somebody else. And this is a commission not to just one individual, not just the teacher, not just the preacher, but to all individuals that are trying to serve Christ, the Great Commission. In Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 through 20, it says, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Part of the Christian life, part of a Christian's responsibility, is to be ready to teach. And many times we lack confidence, many times we feel unfit for the task, but really we look at the Great Commission, and the Great Commission is to all. The Great Commission is not for preachers only. It is not for just small, isolated groups of the apostles. The Great Commission is for all of us. Are you looking for opportunities to teach others in your life? We have a responsibility to preach the gospel. We have a responsibility to teach. For whatever reason, as I reflect on the church over the last century, over the last 50 years, you know, at one point, the Church of Christ was the fastest growing religious group in the United States. It wasn't that long ago that the Church of Christ was known for their evangelism, was known for the steps that they were taking forward to serve God and to evangelize and spread the gospel. You know, we can certainly take a step back and we can reflect for a second or two and think about our teaching. What has changed over the last 50 years? What has changed over the last 100 years? What has changed in relation to evangelism? We understand the soil can change. We understand that people can be less receptive to the gospel than they have been in the past. But I wonder if for a second perhaps we have to look at ourselves and say, are we teaching the way that we should? Are we taking the opportunity that we should? Because certainly there's a look at society, but if we're not too careful, we won't look at ourselves. Are we teaching the way that we should? Are we looking for opportunities in the workplace to spread the gospel? Are we looking for opportunities with our family to spread the gospel? Are we looking for those opportunities to teach another? People are dying and people are being lost. In Romans chapter 6 and verse 23, it says, "For the wages of sin is death." There is a connection to sin and spiritual death. And do we understand that without the teaching of the gospel, that individuals will be lost? It says, "The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." Do we take opportunities to teach? People are leaving this world in our country unprepared. They are leaving unprepared. They are leaving untaught. Many people are leaving not hearing the gospel call for individuals to become Christians. It's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Are you prepared? See, when we're prepared, we can have a hope. And then in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 12, it says, that at that time they were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenant of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. Without God, we have no hope. Without Jesus, we have no hope. Without the gospel, there is no hope. And the question is, are we willing to take the gospel of hope, the gospel of peace, to those that are around us? Certainly you can teach by word, but another powerful thing is teaching by example. In 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 11, Paul is talking to the young preacher Timothy, and he tells him to be an example, even though he's young. In Titus chapter 2, it talks about the older generation being an example to the younger generation. Certainly we can teach with our words. Certainly we can teach with our example. And there's so many ways that we can teach. In fact, when we sing to one another in our assembly, in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 15, it talks about us singing to one another and teaching. Teaching and admonishing one another in songs, hymns, and spiritual songs. There are so many ways that we can teach. But do we disengage from the teaching process because we think it's not on our level? It's so much higher than us. We can teach by words. We can teach by example. We can teach by singing. Do you sing when we come together in the assembly of the saints? That's a way that we can teach. Teach those powerful lessons that are written in songs that we sing and proclaim to one another about the coming of Jesus, about Jesus' love, His mercy, His understanding, His grace, the chance and opportunity to be saved. Are we looking for opportunities to teach? Are we looking for opportunities to teach when we walk into the workplace? Do we look for opportunities to teach when we are at a family function? Are we looking for opportunities to teach when we're at the grocery store? And some people say, that's impossible. No. We look at Jesus. That was His life. When Jesus was at the well, He was teaching. When Jesus went to church, when he was going to the synagogue, He was teaching. Everywhere Jesus went was a teaching opportunity. Can we say the same thing of ourselves? Now many people will say, I'm not a Paul and I'm not an apostle. What I find so interesting and powerful is we see that New Testament Christians were taking the word to the world. When you look in chapter 8, the church, in Acts chapter 8, the church is not necessarily in the best spot. The church is kind of new, and it's established, but certainly we have all this evangelism that's taking place. But really, the church is being persecuted. Preachers are getting kicked out of town. A lot of these things are happening. But in Acts chapter 8, what we're going to see is that we see that some of the individuals it's not talking about are apostles. It's talking about just regular church members. In chapter 8, it says, now Saul was consenting to his death at that time. A great persecution arose against the church, which was at Jerusalem, and they were all scattered throughout the region of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. So chapter 8 is talking about the church. It says the church has all this persecution that's happening. The church is at Jerusalem, okay, like the church at Sandyville. The church at Jerusalem has all this persecution that's happening, and it says that the church members, are going to be scattered throughout the whole region except the apostles. As we continue on, it kind of transitions from talking about not the apostles, it's talking about just regular church members. You get down to verse 4, it says, therefore those who were scattered went everywhere preaching the word. This is not talking about Paul. Paul is part of the persecution right now. This is not talking about the apostles. It's talking about Christians. It's talking about church members. Those individuals that became Christians, when they were ran out of Jerusalem, they were scattering all throughout Samaria and Judea. And what were they doing? They were taking the gospel with them. Even on the run, the Christian carries the gospel with them. Even in times of adversity, Christians carry the gospel with them. Even times where culture has pressure on the Christian carries the gospel. Even times under persecution, where these Christians are run out of town, they're run out of Jerusalem, what do? They run, and wherever they go, they take the gospel with them. It's talking about ordinary people. It's talking about common people. And I'd even say the apostles fell into that category. In Acts chapter 4, Peter and John are arrested, and they're before the Sanhedrin. And you know what they say about them? They're uneducated and untrained. That's what they said about John and Peter there in chapter 4 of Acts. He says they're uneducated. They're untrained. Common people. Common people can spread the gospel. You don't have to have a teaching degree to spread the gospel. You don't have to have some preaching degree or go to some preaching school to spread the gospel. We're talking about ordinary individuals. We're talking about the Christians in Jerusalem. They scattered and they preached the gospel. We're talking about Peter and John, who were called uneducated and untrained. They were willing to teach the gospel. The question for us today, are you ready for every good work? One of those good works is teaching. Teaching our kids, teaching our grandkids, teaching the people around us about the gospel of Christ. Are you looking for those opportunities to do the small things? Are you looking for that opportunity with your neighbor? Are you looking for that opportunity with somebody that works with you? Are you looking for that opportunity with your family members? Are you looking for that opportunity? Are you looking for those opportunities that are right in front of you, but somehow we ignore? Somebody you can reach out to. Are you ready for every good work? Is there somebody you can reach out to this week? Certainly, we could. Let's move to another category. Certainly, we could teach somebody this week, prepared for every good work. But maybe we could restore somebody this week, or even be a factor in that person returning to the Lord's church. You know, I think it's underrated sometimes the power of our personal connections and our relationships. Could you encourage somebody this week or plead with somebody this week that is unfaithful to return to the Lord's church, to return to their brothers and sisters in Christ, to assemble with us again, to be with us again? Could you encourage one? You know, we think of our brothers and sisters in Christ, we might not have the same name, right? I'm a Lancaster. There's not too many other Lancasters here. It's just my family, I believe. Could be wrong. We might not have the same last name, but we're family. We're family. We're part of the Lord's body. We're part of the Lord's church. Are we looking out for each other? Are we trying to encourage one another? Are we trying to look out for each other as we wonder and as life trials and tribulations come our way, as those challenges come and they tear us down? Are we looking for those opportunities? Because when we look at the Bible does teach the idea that we could wander, the idea that we could go back to the world. You know, some Christians are not where they ought to be right now. And we should be concerned, and we should be reaching out as best we can. In 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 20, it says, "For if after you have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, they are again entangled in them and overcome, and the latter end is worse for them than the beginning." This idea, this picture in 2 Peter, if somebody has escaped the world, somebody has escaped the pollutions of the world, but it says they get dragged back. It says they get entangled. And every once in a while, our brothers and sisters in Christ, the cares of this life, the tribulations of life, the struggles of life, the adversities of life, it gets them, and it truly drags them away. And we need to be there to encourage them and try to bring them back as best we can. You know, you think about that idea, the idea of being lost, it's not a very comforting feeling. But the sad thing is many people, when they wander away from the truth, they don't feel like they're lost. They almost need somebody to say, "Hey, are you at where you're supposed to be?" You know, there's been times in my life where I'm walking around and I don't know where it is, but I must look like I don't know where I'm at. If somebody approaches, "Hey, do you know where you're going?" You know, I'm glad you said that, because I have no idea where I'm going. And sometimes our brothers and sisters in Christ need a reminder. They get distracted by the fog of the world. They get distracted by the things of life, the tribulations, the adversities. And it's almost like they have a smoke screen. They almost need somebody to say, "Hey, where are you headed? Where are you going? Where are you going to be this Sunday? Are you going to be with us?" Just a little reminder as best we can. Satan is very good at his job. In 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 26, it says, "And that they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil, having been taken captive by him to do his will." This illustration gives us this idea of the devil, that he is captured, that he is ensnared, that he has used his devices to lure somebody away. But the first part of the verse, it says that they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil. Sin in the world can fog up people's lives very easily. It can very easily shift our focus, giving us look in other directions that don't matter, focusing on things that don't matter, lose the total perspective of the spiritual. It gives this idea. It says that they may come to their senses and escape the snares of the devil. How easy it is to get captured in those snares. You know that your phone call or you reaching out to somebody this week could slowly bring somebody back to the Lord's church. I like what it says in Luke chapter 15. In Luke chapter 15, you have three examples of things that are lost. You have a lamb that is lost, you have a coin that is lost, and you have a son that is lost. God puts value on the lost. In each of those situations, the lamb has value, the coin has value, the son has value. And you know what? The idea is we want those things to be found. We want those things to be returned. And do you understand that you could have a piece in that process? Could you help somebody look for their lost coin? Yes, you could. Could you help somebody look for their lost land? Yes, you could. Could you help somebody look for the lost son? We understand that there's a part that falls on the individual. We understand that individual has to make a choice to return. But can you be part of the process? Can you be looking for them? Can you be searching for them? Can you be waiting for them? Are we not looking anymore for those that need to be restored? It's a small thing. In Galatians chapter 6 and verse 1, it says, "Brethren, if any man is overtaken in any trespass, you are spiritual. Restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted." Are we looking to restore? Are we looking to be part of the process of finding the lost? You know, for some people, it's a phone call. I actually know a brother that came back to services just over a phone call. He said, "I don't know what happened." He said, "I just lost respect of all things." He said, "When you called," he said, "it was just a wake-up call. I don't know what it was. It was like I was blurred and I was focused on everything else, but your phone call helped me see through the fog, helped me see where I needed to go." You understand that you can be part of that process. You could be the phone call. You could be the text. You could be the card. You could be the note. You could be the visit that could help somebody return to the Lord. We understand that each individual is going to be accountable for themselves, but we understand that we have an obligation to look out for our brothers and sisters in Christ. Sometimes the preacher means a whole lot, and sometimes the preacher means very little. Sometimes people put the preacher on a pedestal that really they should never do. But you know what? You're a busy brother or sister in Christ. They know you're busy, and you call out of your busy day to check up on them. I'm not saying that my phone call doesn't matter. I think it does. But sometimes yours has something a little extra special on it. Your phone call, you looking out for them, you showing interest in them, sometimes is far more powerful than something from me. Could you be the reason that somebody returns? What a powerful thing that is. In James chapter 5 and verse 20, it says, Let him know that he who turns the sinner from his error of his way will save a soul from death and cover a multitude of sins. Are we looking out for our brothers and sisters in Christ? Can we encourage somebody? You know, that's what we're talking about. Restoring somebody, encouraging somebody, looking out for somebody. In Proverbs chapter 25, it says, "A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold and settings of silver." There are words that are spoken to people that matter, and they're at a perfect time. It says, "A word fitly spoken." Are we looking for those opportunities to encourage? Are we looking for those opportunities to reach out to individuals and try to bring them back to the assembly of our Lord? I think we have a responsibility to encourage and look out for our brothers and sisters in Christ. Could you teach somebody this week? I believe you could. Some of you may perhaps already done it this morning, and we are thankful for those who have done that. And we think about, have you taken any opportunity to restore somebody, to look out for a brother or sister in Christ, to encourage them? And our last one that we're going to look at, are you looking for opportunities to help someone? In Matthew chapter 25, we have a judgment scene that is happening and being described. And as the judgment scene unfolds, it's interesting, some of the criteria, some of the things that God gives out that He's looking for. And in this judgment scene, in Matthew chapter 25, verses 34 and following, it says, "Then the king will say to those on his right hand, 'Come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me a drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me.'" What do we see there in Matthew chapter 25? I believe a helpful hand. Perhaps you could teach somebody this week. Perhaps you could restore somebody this week. But perhaps you could help somebody this week. Like I said, I think it's the small things in life that make all the difference. Teaching somebody could have a ripple that goes on for how long do we know? How long? When we think about the idea of restoring somebody, do you understand the impact that that could have going down the road? Do you understand the impact of helping somebody? In Galatians chapter 6 and verse 2, it tells us to bear one another's burdens. Do we do that? In Galatians chapter 6 and verse 10, as we continue on that same chapter, it says, therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially those of the household of faith. Do we do what we can when we can? You know, I think about this a lot, and I actually pray about it quite frequently. Is therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially those of the household of faith. You know what I pray sometimes? I pray to see the opportunities. Have you ever prayed that? Have you ever thought that you get so busy with life, that you get so focused on so many things, that somehow you miss out on those opportunities to give somebody a drink? We miss out on those opportunities to help somebody up. We miss out on the opportunities to encourage somebody. I pray that I can see the opportunities. The opportunities to help those that are around us. What a blessing it is to help. In Acts chapter 20 and verse 35, it says it's more blessed to give than receive. And it truly is. And what a blessing it is when you can really reach out and help somebody. Really reach out and care for them and try to give them the assistance that they need. And certainly that was Jesus' example. In Acts chapter 10 and verse 38, it talks about Jesus, and what does it tell us about him? It says Jesus went about doing good. That was our Lord. He went about doing good. Wherever he went, he was trying to teach. Wherever he went, he was trying to help. Wherever he went, he was trying to restore and encourage those individuals that were around. Do we try to do that? Certainly we understand we can help in a very physical way, but certainly I would petition us and get us to consider that also praying for somebody is also a way to help and assist an individual. We see that throughout the Scriptures. We see brothers and sisters in Christ praying for one another. When Paul writes to the church at Thessalonica, he opens the letter with saying, I'm praying for you. I'm thinking about you. I'm praying for you. And you know how he ends the letter? He says, brethren, pray for us. Couldn't that just echo, brethren, help us? You know, when I read that in Titus chapter 3 and verse 1, and I read it, and just the second half of the verse, it says, be ready for every good work. And we see it again in 2 Timothy, be ready or be prepared for every good work. Are we prepared to teach? Are we prepared to help and assist? Are we prepared to restore and encourage our brothers and sisters in Christ? You know, there's a very powerful and intimate question that's asked in Matthew chapter 20 and verse 6. And I'll give it to you, and that'll be the lesson for today. Matthew chapter 20 and verse 6. It says, about the 11th hour, he went out and found others standing idle and said to them, why have you been standing here idle all the day? That's a very powerful and intimate question for you. As a brother and sister in Christ that we meet so intimately, you have a piece to the puzzle that we cannot replace. Some might say, you have a piece to the puzzle that cannot be replaced. We need each and every one. But the question for us is, are we ready for every good work? Are we somebody that's standing there idle all the day when there's work to do? There's always somebody to teach. There's always somebody to restore and encourage. There's always somebody out there that could use our help. Are we looking for such opportunities along life's way? Let's not stand idle all the day when there is more than enough work for each of us to do. Perhaps you need to become a New Testament Christian. Perhaps you need to pray for the church. We would love to help you this morning in any way that we can. Are you prepared for every good work? Are you looking out for your brothers and sisters in Christ, looking for those little things that we can do, every opportunity to help each other? Perhaps you're subject to Lord's invitation. We'd love to help you in any way this morning if you come as we stand and as we sing.